is the day that we celebrate. Well, all year long we celebrate, but especially today, this is the week of the Feast of Pentecost. And so we're going to be talking about what does that mean to us, and the Feast of Pentecost. And we're talking about that. Shavuot and Pentecost are different names for the same feast. And that was when, well, there are some people who believe that the Feast of Pentecost was the same day as the giving of the law at Sinai. Just as the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 occurred on the day of Pentecost, they believe that the law was given on that same day, just 1,400 years apart. That is debatable because I cannot prove it, but I'm telling you that it makes a lot of sense. It sounds like it could be true. So I'm telling you there are parallels between these two incidents, between the giving of the law and the incident in Acts, the second chapter. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 occurred on the Feast of Pentecost, and each of these occasions brought about an earth-shaking shift for the people of God. It was just an earth-shaking event, and it caught a lot of attention. For Israel under Moses, it also caused an earth-shaking event when Moses gave the law to the people. And so this happened in Exodus, the 19th and 20th chapters. We read how that there were things that happened that are very similar to when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts. There are notable, profound, supernatural occurrences. At Sinai, there was thunder and a very loud trumpet, remember, and the shofar sound. In the 19th chapter of Exodus, it tells us, and then on the day of Pentecost, there was a noise like a violent rushing wind. At Sinai, there were lightning flashes on the day of Pentecost. There were what appeared to them tongues as of fire. So there was lightning on Sinai, but then in Acts, the second chapter, there were tongues of fire. So there was fire in both of those demonstrations. At Sinai, the Shekinah glory, the visible manifestation of the presence of God, covered the mountain in the form of smoke and fire. It says that Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. On the day of Pentecost, the Shekinah glory fell in the forms of fire, was in the tongues of fire. There were separated or cloven tongues of fire. And on each of these occasions, there were strong emotional reactions from the crowds. And I think what a similar, when God shows his power, his Holy Spirit comes, it changes people's lives. At Sinai, all the people heard thunder and saw lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. They were afraid to approach because God's presence was so strong. I remember when I was a teenager, my brother and I sat in the back seat of a church. We were sitting back there, and all of a sudden, we sensed a presence, the power, the Spirit, and the presence of God. And oh, how I long to sense it in such a manner today. But we sensed that presence, and I said, I don't know what this is. It was just a silence and a hush that came over the congregation. And my brother said, I don't know either, but I'm getting out of here. And I said, and so he wanted to get out, but I stayed there. What I didn't know was that the power of God had come, and there was a woman that had been slain in the spirit. And she was up further in the church, and she was between the benches of the pews. And she was slain in the Spirit. This woman had been seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When she started coming to the church, she said, I don't believe in such something like that. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit works like that. And so the pastor told her wisely, he said, you just pray. We don't pray for the gift of tongues, or we don't pray that God will fill us with speaking in tongues. We pray that he will fill us with his Holy Spirit, that he will come upon us and manifest his presence to us. And he said, you pray like that. You don't seek a tongue, you pray and you seek God. So she began to pray. each morning she prayed, and when her husband would go to work and the children were gone to school, and she began to pray and she made it a focus. Well, it was only about 3 weeks that she was doing that, and I didn't know she was doing it. I mean, I was a teenager. She was a woman with a family. But God came and visited her that morning. She was slain in the spirit, never had experienced anything like it before. And there she was. And when she talked, usually when she would talk, she kind of talked real fast. You could hardly understand her. You know, she just slurred her words. And she began to speak when I realized she was lying there. And she began to announce the presence of God was there. And she called my father out. Nobody knew his name because he didn't want anyone to know his first name. He thought it was Sissy. And his parents had named him Simmy. But he didn't. He always went by S. Tapley. And she began, and the Holy Spirit moved on her, and she said, Simmy. You know, and whenever, and then she called me out. But anyway, different ones. But when I approached, the presence of God was so heavy. I've never taken my shoes off before, but I took my shoes off. Nobody told me to, but it was like I could not walk where the presence of God was. And the presence of God demonstrates himself in such a manner we cannot stand before him. If you've ever had a vision, which I have had, I could not. I thought, oh, I'm so excited to see God. He's coming to me. No, I fell on my face and I said, oh, no, don't come closer to me because I cannot contain this sense of your presence. God is real and his presence, his Holy Spirit, will change a life, and he does change lives. And so the people there stood at a distance, and they said there on Sinai, they said, we can't even come close. And they were bewildered and amazed and astonished when they heard the sound and the smoke. And the same thing happened in Acts, the second chapter. There were people who were amazed and they were astonished because they heard the message of Jesus Christ being preached to them in their own native tongue. They did not all speak the same language. You see, it was the Feast of Pentecost. It was the feast time when they came from all around, and they came from different areas, and they spoke different languages. And so God spoke through these people to give the message of Jesus in their tongue. Well, some people today make the remark, I wish I could have lived during that time. I wish, and I've even thought sometimes, I wonder what I would have done. Would I have been that woman that came and bowed before Jesus and anointed his head or his feet? Would I have been one of those that would have given my life savings just to bow before him and give him my life? Well, people say, I wish I could have been there. But I'm going to tell you, they would like to have seen the miracles and to have experienced the glory of God's presence and of his resurrection. Think of that, the glory of the resurrection, seeing him hang on the cross and then him rise again, and he walks among them and he walks through the walls, and you say, wow, how in the world, I wish I had been there. But I'm going to tell you that we are blessed to live in this day today. Because, you see, we are seeing prophecy fulfilled. We're seeing the things that have been foretold coming to pass. And we know that Jesus may return during our lifetime. He may come back. We're living in a time that is awesome. And we say, but there are terrible things that are happening. Yes, prophecy is being fulfilled. But you know what? He said, look up, your redemption draws nigh. We don't know, and I know nothing else that needs to be fulfilled before Jesus could return. I'm not that knowledgeable about prophecy, but I don't know anything else that has to happen. But I know that he will return because he gave us that promise. He's going to return for his bride, and I want to be a part of that bride. How glorious it is that Jesus has given to us the Holy Spirit to dwell with us and to be in us. Today we celebrate, or we commemorate, or we think about that precious gift that Jesus said, I will give to you. In John the 14th chapter, verse 17, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And so he's not just going to be with you, he's going to be inside of you. He's going to be with you. And my, how we need that today. Some of us start walking, we try to do things on our own, but the Holy Spirit has been given to us for the purpose of guiding us and directing us. Just as it was in Jesus' time on earth when there were those who did not believe that Jesus' words, the things that he spoke, they did not believe. And so we today have people who do not believe. Jesus promised that the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, has come to live with us and to be in us. There are some people that say, I cannot believe that. It's just too far out. I won't accept it. Some may believe that the Holy Spirit has been given to us so we can feel a shiver or so we can feel an excitement. Remember how that Jesus took three of his disciples up on the mountain and they said, well, we just want to build a place and stay here where the presence of God is. But that wasn't his plan. And some of us would like to be out of this situation that we're in today. We would like to sense a presence of God, and we can, because of the Holy Spirit. But there are some that just want to serve him just when times feel good, when they have that ecstatic feeling. There are times when you go into prayer and it seems like the Holy Spirit just comes all over you and just melts you. There are other times that you come in to pray and it's like you're beating against a block wall. That doesn't mean that he's not there. He is there. He has come to be with you and to be in you. And some people think that the Holy Spirit is only for the gift of tongues, of speaking in tongues or prophesying. That's one of the gifts. That's one of the demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, but that's not all of it. Some people seek after tongues, but that's not what God told us. Now, Paul did say seek to receive all of the gifts. Seek to be filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that's not all there is to it. It isn't just tongues or it isn't just prophecy that we seek. We want the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit for more than a good feeling because God knew the weakness of fallen humanity. He sent the Holy Spirit. You say, I don't understand that. He is available for you and me. God knew that we needed the Holy Spirit to walk with us in order to walk a triumphant and a victorious life. You see, our sin sent Jesus to the cross, not our righteousness. Our sin sent him to the cross. Our weakness brought the Holy Spirit down to us, not our perfection. There are some people say, well, I'm not good enough to receive the Holy Spirit. I just haven't come there yet. I'm not perfect. I'm trying to overcome and I'm trying. He didn't send you to because you're perfect to receive the Holy Spirit. He sent you so the Holy Spirit could bring you into perfection. The Holy Spirit brings us into divine alignment with God's plans and his purposes. Many Christians think that they're not worthy or good enough. We can't even hope to be good enough because he is absolutely holy. And that's why we need him. That's why he came, because we need that holiness. Our holiness does not produce the power for signs and wonders. The Holy Spirit is the power. Wonders without the cross are not Holy Spirit wonders. We know that there are going to, the Bible tells us that the Antichrist will someday, he can perform miracles and wonders. Remember when Moses stood before Pharaoh and what he did, what God said, put down your rod, and then magicians would put down theirs. But you see, the rod that Moses threw down overcame theirs and swallowed them up, those false gods. And the Holy Spirit is the one that he always talks about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. And so there are miracles that we don't follow miracles. We follow the Holy Spirit. Our holiness does not produce power. Only the Holy Spirit is the power. That's why Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just for a chosen few. There are some people that say, well, I think it was just for the disciples. It's not for us today. I'm going to tell you, all of God's blood-washed children can receive and are commanded, receive. It is your blessing. It is your inheritance. It is for all who hunger and thirst for him. And I'm going to tell you in Acts, the second chapter, verse 39. Jesus said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. All of us. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I've heard people say, well, he didn't call. Well, if he called you to repentance, if he called you to salvation, you are called. And you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 and 30. Who are the called? Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. Jesus has called all of us. If we have a need, we are called to be to receive his peace and his Holy Spirit. When God breathed into the nostrils of the first man, he gave him life. He breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. It says in the second chapter, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Yahweh, or God, formed man out of dust. This molded dust was totally lifeless. It had no life in it. God breathed into this inert or this dead pile of dust like a sculpted mound of sand on the beach. The Bible says the man came alive. We were created in God's image, and only God gives life and designs our unique identity. There are some that believe that you can decide your identity and what you are after you already have been born and after you, whatever you choose. But that isn't the way God designed it. He formed you and he designed you, and he knows exactly who you are. God formed man for a purpose, and when God breathed into the first man's nostrils, he set that whole purpose within in motion. He said, I want a relationship with you, and that's God's plan. God had a purpose and a plan when he sent the Holy Spirit for us. The Holy Spirit is our, there are functions of the Holy Spirit. He is our advocate. He's our comforter. Those words are kind of merged together. Our advocate. He's the one that it goes before God for us. When we pray, many times, one of the gifts of tongues, more than any other that I can think of, is that ability to communicate with God and bypass Satan's intervention. Satan doesn't know what you're saying when you're speaking in an unknown tongue to God. And the Holy Spirit speaks through you and tells God exactly what you need. You say, well, I know what I need. No, we don't always know what we need. Sometimes it takes that Holy Spirit, or most of the time, the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks for us. In John, the 16th chapter, verse 7, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. He said, it is necessary, absolutely for your benefit, that I go away. The disciples did not want him to leave. They were enjoying that sense of just a complete confidence that nothing can go wrong. He stilled the storm. He healed the broken. He raised the dead. I mean, they wanted to be right there with him. But he said, it's expedient. It's for your benefit that I go away. If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him unto you. Jesus said he would send him to us. And I read there where he said he's going to be with us and he's going to be in us. Jesus said, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you, and he'll be with you forever. And that's the same that we have. The Holy Spirit also intercedes for us. He prays for us, and I talked about that. The Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26, it says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I can tell you times when I would go to prayer and I did not understand why I was praying for a particular individual. I had a son who was in Afghanistan during that terrible conflict and war. And I began to pray, and my heart was just, and the Holy Spirit began to pray through me. Well, I found out later, after the fact, he told me, you know, Mom, I was out there, and he said a bullet went past it. I felt the wind of it go right past my head. You see, the Holy Spirit knows what we have need of. I can think of other times. One time my husband told me he was praying and he began to groan and to cry and to weep. And he was on his face on the floor about the grain situation with Russia. And he said, I don't understand. What in the world was I talking about? I don't know anything that's going on there. Then that morning on the news, he heard about the grain deal with Russia. So the Holy Spirit used, he helps us in our weaknesses, and he prays for us. There have been numerous times, perhaps you've experienced it. I have, and those of you who've walked with the Lord and have received the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. There are times that the Holy Spirit reveals things to us. The Holy Spirit knows the Spirit of God. It says in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? A dog doesn't, maybe he does understand, pretty much. But the spirit of man, a person, and he says there, even so the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God knows God. And so the Holy Spirit, we need that because he knows the Spirit of God. He knows the mind of God, and he knows what we have need of. The Holy Spirit is also our teacher and our reminder. Wow, don't we need that reminder? What does he remind us of? He reminds us of the things that Jesus has commanded us. He says in John, the 14th chapter, verse 26, Jesus said, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. You can read the Bible and perhaps go away like Ramona was praying this morning. God, help us not to just go away and forget the things that we have seen and that you've shown us. The Holy Spirit will remind us of those things that Jesus has told us. And we need that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. He always will lift up Jesus. The Holy Spirit in us magnifies Jesus because he has redeemed us and he's worthy of our praise. In 15th chapter, verse 26, John wrote, when the Advocate comes, Jesus said this, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The Holy Spirit also convicts the sinner of sin and reproves the righteous. In John, the 16th chapter, 8 and 9, says, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. I'm going to remind you, if you stray, the Holy Spirit is going, you say, well, it's my conscience. Well, what is your conscience? The Holy Spirit works and he reproves and he brings you back into the focus. He says, you're going to see me no more. But he said that the prince of this world is going to be judged. In Romans, John, the 6th chapter, verse 44, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. The Holy Spirit draws us to God. He draws us to Jesus. We cannot feel that conviction, that convicting power without the Holy Spirit. He is the one that reproves us of sin and lets us know that we don't want to go there. Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The Holy Spirit will guide and reveal what is to come as well. These are functions, attributes of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need him in our lives every day, all the time. In John, the 16th chapter, verse 13, Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, I'm not going to tell you that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you everything that's going to happen. It isn't for your benefit for you to know everything that's going to happen, but he will reveal to you those things that you need to know, and he will tell you what's going on. I remember one time that I was sitting in a dental office. Ramona was about 2 years old, and well, I take it back. She probably was about six. But anyway, she was in seeing this dentist. And I was sitting in the waiting room, and it was very crowded. And there was a woman sitting beside me. I didn't even look at her face. I was just sitting there reading. And I sensed in my spirit that I was sitting beside a witch. You say, well, how? I feel like I'm by a witch a lot. No, this was literally a spiritual witch. And I thought, well, you know, and then I tried not to. I just ignored her and just sat there. Pretty soon she began to talk to me, and she said, you know, she said, I'm a Wiccan. And she said, but I'm a good Wiccan. You know what? There's that, what is that old movie? And I think they show it now on Hallmark sometimes. I haven't seen it, but I've seen it advertised something about the good witch. The good witch. There isn't a good witch. The devil would like you to believe that anything he does is good, but it is not. There is no such thing, and our children need to be warned and understand. But the Holy Spirit will give us discernment, and we will know things. The Holy Spirit doesn't discern or show you things about people that is none of your business. Just because somebody has faltered in the past, the Holy Spirit is not, he's not going to come and tell you, oh yeah, she did, blah, blah, blah. No, that is not the way he works. The only time the Holy Spirit reveals to you something about someone is so that you may minister Jesus to them. He may say, this person has a need, he's broken. I remember standing in this congregation many years ago, probably 15 years ago or so, and when we first came to pastor, and I saw a woman in the congregation. Now, she's not here today. I saw a woman in the congregation with desperate need. And I literally, the Holy Spirit showed me a vision of this woman standing there, and it was like sewage was just sliming off of her body, and just running down. And I thought, oh God, I knew that she was desperately. It wasn't because God wanted to tell me she's a bad person. It was because God was saying she needs to know my love. She needs me in her life. And the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you only as you can minister Jesus to that person. The Holy Spirit will always worship and glorify Jesus. Always worship Jesus and glorify him. In John the 16th chapter, verse 14, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will glorify me, Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. He will reveal to you what Jesus has done, how much Jesus loves you, and he will reveal Jesus to you. The Holy Spirit is the source of peace. In the 15th chapter of Romans, Paul wrote, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. How are you going to have peace? Through the Holy Spirit. God has sent him to give us peace. We're living in a world that is shaken, and there is not much peace in many people. They're afraid. They're scared to death almost because of what they're being told and of things that are going on. But he says that through the power of the Holy Ghost that God will fill us with peace and with joy. And Jesus said in the 20th chapter of John, he said, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you, he told the disciples. I'm sending you out, and I want to give you my peace. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Jesus gave them a command. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm reminded of when Jesus went to be baptized of John at the River Jordan. And John said, John saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove above Jesus. And he came, and this voice came and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Holy Spirit was speaking, behold the Lamb of God. And John received that. He said, I didn't know who he was. He was just my cousin. I didn't know he was the one until the Holy Spirit revealed it. Now Jesus, the Holy Spirit, came upon him there at the River Jordan. You say, well, he was from God. He already had the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know. The Holy Spirit came on him. And I think about it, immediately after he was baptized, it said the Spirit led him into the place where none of us want to go, into the wilderness to be tempted. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit led him there. There are sometimes we go into places where God wants to show us that He is abundant. He is there for us, and he wants to let us go through something that will make us strong. And then I think about Jesus as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you think he would have had the power to overcome and to say, not my will, thine be done? He was struggling with that, but the Holy Spirit was there to hold him and to give him that strength that he has had need of. If Jesus needed that Holy Spirit with him, we need it. Who are we to think that we can walk without him and that we don't need that strength? And I'm not saying that Jesus was human, but he became human. He became man in order to die on the cross. He had to take your place. He had to become a man. And so he took on our sin. He paid the penalty. And so Jesus said, so God breathed physical life into the first man, but after his resurrection, Jesus breathed spiritual life upon the believers. He breathed on them and said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses for Jesus. This is one of the major functions of the Holy Spirit. He not only lives in us and he guides us and he reveals things to us, but he wants to give us that power, that boldness to be witnesses for him. He said in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You're going to receive an authority and a dynamite power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, he said, to the ends of the earth. Now, I remind you, remember what Peter was like before Jesus went to the cross? And when Peter had sworn, he said, I declare I will never turn against you. I will stand true to you. And Jesus said, no. He said, before the rooster crows three, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter did that, but after the Holy Spirit, that experience in the upper room, after Jesus was taken away and the Holy Spirit came, Peter was a different man. And the Holy Spirit will make you and me different people. He will fill us with a boldness. I'm not saying an obnoxiousness. I'm saying a boldness and authority. There are people in this world today that need somebody to reach out and just say, I love you. God loves you. And he said, you're going to receive this power. And in the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they are all with one accord in one place. And you know the scripture, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Wow, I'd love to have a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Don't we want that presence of the Holy Spirit just to fill this place? They were all in one accord, and they all were desirous of that one thing, the presence of the Holy Spirit. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, that means divided tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. I think it's interesting that God used the tongue. The tongue is what gets us in trouble probably more than any member of our body. But God says, I'm going to take it over. I've split it in two and set it on fire. All right. And so they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues is an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I never want you to forget that. God wants us to have that. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit, and tongues is an evidence of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. But I remind you in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, Paul wrote, he said, I thank my God. He said, I speak with tongues more than you all. They were talking about, is it necessary? Should tongues be done away with? And he was telling them the order. And the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you read that, it will give you God's plan of how the Holy Spirit ministers through tongues and prophecy And he said there should be order and no confusion in the congregation. There are some people that bring, I have been in congregations, and no doubt you have too, where there is confusion. And it's just somebody that's yelling out, and it just continues to interrupt and disrupt. But God's word comes forth in order. And it does not just, and when there are tongues, there must be an interpretation. And so Paul tells us in the 14th chapter there about that. But Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, he wasn't bragging. He said, I'm thankful that God speaks and I have the Holy Spirit. But he said, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, he said, that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. If the tongue is not interpreted, if it is not beneficial, it is just a disruption. Now, we should be aware when we give a message and when God uses tongues. Now, sometimes people pray in tongues, and they may pray even as they're praying for someone silently or praying, and they're talking to God. That's different. But if you're giving a message to a congregation, it must be interpreted or there's confusion. And then he says in the 14th chapter, verse 2, Paul said, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So the Holy Spirit was sent to us because God knew that we needed someone to bring us into that walk with God like he wants us to walk, that perfect walk with God. Am I saying that you'll never falter? No, I'm saying that's why you need the Holy Spirit, because you will falter. You will make mistakes, but the Holy Spirit is there to remind you, this is what Jesus said. Pick up now, forget the things that are behind you, and press on. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit's anointing power in our lives. And I think of the song, the little chorus that we used to sing. I've heard it. It said, talks about when Jesus was in the garden, it says, not my will, thine be done. Pray, Jesus, may this same prayer be mine every day. When this robe of flesh that I wear, makes me stumble, makes me falter. Holy Spirit, guide my steps, hold my hand all the way. And there will be times when you stumble. Some people, when they stumble and they falter, that's when they throw in the towel and they give up. But I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is here to pick you up, pick up the pieces. There is no place to stop in this place we walk with God. We continue on, and we have that Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us and to direct our paths. I thank you today for watching us at Living Waters Church. If you have not experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is ask God for it. Just open your hearts and bow before him, and he will fill you with his Holy Spirit. You don't have to be a perfect person. You have to be just a perfect believer in saying, I receive. I think there's a difference in surrender and yielding. Maybe there isn't a lot of difference, but in yielding, I think that we yield. I come before you, Lord, and I bow down, and I yield myself to you. I give you my all. But in surrender, I might be maybe have arm restraints or something, and I have to surrender because I'm forced to. God wants you just to yield to him everything. Let him be the Lord of your life. I pray today that you will receive the Holy Spirit. Let me pray with you right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit. We need your presence with us, and sometimes when we feel alone, we can be assured that you are with us as we have your Holy Spirit in us and with us. I pray today, O God, for anyone who is not sure of their salvation. It is because of sin that you went to the cross, and you went there to take away sin. You bore our sin. And now then, you sent the Holy Spirit. Because of our weakness, we need the strength of your Spirit to guide us. And I pray today for those today who need that strength in Jesus' name. Give them your Holy Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. We'd love to hear from you. If this has ministered to you, let us know. May the Lord bless you this week. Okay. Is there anyone today that needs special prayer? If you have a need, if there's something you have need of, we want to pray for you. Yes, Sister Maria. Okay. I would like the elders or those of you who would like to pray, we gather together and we agree in prayer for Sister Maria. She has a need, and she also has some of the same heartaches that others of us have experienced. And we live with those things, and we say, God, help us. Is there anyone else who needs special prayer today? Okay. Let's just gather around and pray for Sister Maria. Okay. Pass it around. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Your leg. For the faith that this woman has in you. I thank you, Lord, for her faithfulness. I thank you for your Holy Spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, because of your Holy Spirit, we can boldly come to you. And we just come against every bit of pain, everything that has come against her leg. I pray for healing. I pray in the name of Jesus that your healing virtue will flow through her body. Holy Spirit, demonstrate your power right now in Maria's body. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else have a prayer or a word for her? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Father God, I pray for Sister Figueroa, my Lord, that you would just watch over her right now. God, keep her safe, keep her healthy, Lord. Continue to bless her, God. Help her sons, Lord, that you would comfort them, God. Watch over them where they're at. We thank you, Lord, for her, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. We're gonna come against that in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Because it doesn't matter what the problem is. You're the problem solver, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Doesn't matter, oh God, Father. We come against every pain and everything in her body in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Healing in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, we thank you, Jesus.
Healing
in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
We give you praise.
We give you praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
The healing power right
yes,
now.
Yes, right now, in the name
let
of Jesus.
Flow.
From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, oh Lord. Let your healing
right
virtue flow through her now, in Jesus' name.
Heal every point.
Yes, Lord.
Right now. Go to the source right now.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit. It is not who we are, but it's who you are. It is who you are, Lord. You are faithful in Jesus' name.
We thank you, God, for the healing. We thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
We thank you. It's done right now. It's done. It was done at the cross of Calvary. It was completed right then and there. And we thank you for it, Lord.
Thank
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Yes,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. We will give you praise,
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I pray for my sister.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, God, that you'll touch her body. Touch her finances.
Yes, Lord.
Touch her life.
Yes, every area, oh God. Let your provisions flow for her, oh God, I pray. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Glory
to God. All over you.
Thank you, Lord.
Is there anyone else who desires prayer, or is there anyone who would like to, you have a word that you'd like to share? If you have a word you want to share with us, the Lord's given you a thought that you just would like to share.
Sure, I'd like to say something. You know, a lot of people think they've got to be in church to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say something.